And today we'll take up a koan. This is number 70 in the collection known as the Shoyo Roku, the Book of Serenity. And the title is Jinshan Asks About Nature. Here's how it reads. Master Jinshan asked his Dharma brother, Master Shushan, knowing clearly the unborn nature of life, why is one still attached to life? Shushan said, the bamboo shoot eventually becomes a bamboo. But can you make a bamboo rope out of a bamboo shoot already? Jinshan said, later you will realize it yourself. Shushan said, my view is just as I said. What is your view? Jinshan said, this is the steward's quarters, that is the cook's quarters. And then Jushan made a deep bow. There's not a lot of material on either of these masters, these they're contemporaries of each of one another. Both of them have two Chinese names, as well as their Japanized. Each of them has two Chinese names as well as his Japanese name, so I'm just going to keep it simple and pick one of those Chinese names and stick with it. It's one of the things that makes preparation for koan commentaries time-consuming is these names can be so different and takes a while to sort it all out. So Jinshan, he died in the year 954. It's near the end of the Tang Dynasty. Was the disciple of Luhan Guichen and also his head monk and attendant. And there's a dialogue with these same two, Jinshan and Shushan. Jinshan served as head monk at Dizang Monastery. One day, Dizang entered the hall. Two monks came forward and bowed. Dizang said, both wrong. The two monks were speechless. After they left the hall, they asked Shushan about this matter. Shushan is the other guy, not the head monk, Jinshan. Shushan said, you yourself are grand and majestic. Is it not a mistake to bow and inquire of others? So, look to yourself for this. Look to yourselves for this response that Dizang gave you. When Jinshan heard this, he did not agree with it. Shushan then asked him, what do you think? It's the same as part of the koan, today's koan. One person, Shushan, offers his understanding, and then Jinshan doesn't agree, and Shushan says, what do you think? Jinshan said, if you are in the midst of darkness, how can you help others? Shushan angrily went to the abbot's room and sought the opinion of Dizang. Dizang pointed down the pathway and said, the cook should go into the kitchen. At these words, Shushan realized his error. So So what's wrong with what Shushan said? You yourself are grand and majestic. Isn't it a mistake to bow and inquire of others? Was that his error? Or was it Shushan going angrily to the abbot's room? And in doing that, seeking the opinion of Dizang, he's doing what he told the monks. Is it a mistake to bow and inquire of others? Here's another one. After Jinshan took up residence as a teacher, a monk asked, "Everyone blindly gropes for form, each espousing some erroneous view. If you suddenly encountered a clear-eyed person, then what?" And this is the indirect Chinese way of saying that he's the clear-eyed person. What are you gonna do now? And Jinshan said, "You go ask this to the 10 directions." Reminds me of the Honzon Echo, where we all together during chanting services, at least once during each chanting service, the lead chanter introduces a segment, and then all together we say, 10 directions, 3 worlds, all Buddhas, Bodhisattva, Mahasattvas, Mahaprajna Paramita. Probably are people who don't have any clues as to what they're chanting when they do that. And the 10 directions are north, south, east, west, and the 4 intermediate points between those 4, the 4 cardinal points and the 4 intermediate points, that's 8, and then the nadir, that's going down, and the zenith going up. Those are the 10 directions. It's just a kind of a traditional way of saying everywhere and all worlds, all everywhere that we can imagine, all Buddhas, Bodhisattva, Mahasattvas. It's a great affirmation of this one mind, this one true mind, unlimited, that we all share everywhere. Buddhas, most of them blind, but still Buddhas. This is one last short one involving Jinshan. A monk of the congregation named Kongyi started to ask a question. Jinshan said, "This hairless donkey." And at that monk was suddenly enlightened. And then that's all we have for Jinshan. Forgive me, I was reading out of this great source, a book called Zen's Chinese Heritage, The Masters and Their Teachings, edited by Andy Ferguson, translated and edited by Andy Ferguson. And then right after him in this book of biographies, there is the second guy, Shushan. And we also have for him just that he died in 954, same as his brother monk. And they were both brother monks of Fa Yen, another famous master. according to one of the old records, this Shushan's attainment was comparable to that of the great Fa Yen, and they became friends and set off together from Dizong's temple on a pilgrimage. And here's how it reads. Talking as they traveled, Fa Yen suddenly asked Shushan a question, saying, "The ancients said that the single body is revealed in the 10,000 forms. Did they thus dispel the 10,000 forms or not?" Shushan said, "They didn't dispel them." Fa Yen, "What do you say dispels or doesn't dispel them?" Shushan was confused and returned to see Dizong. That's the master. Dizong asked him, "You haven't been gone long. Why have you come back?" Shushan said, "There's an unresolved matter, so I'm not willing to go traveling to mountains and rivers until it's resolved." This showed an uncommon commitment to seeing into one's nature as a priority above doing pilgrimages. Pilgrimages were sort of the standard thing that they did at this in this era in Chan. But he just circled back and said, "I've got work to do here." Dizong said, "It's not bad that you travel to difficult mountains and rivers." But Shushan didn't understand Dizong's meaning. So he asked, "The single body is revealed in the 10,000 forms. What does this mean?" Single body, of course, is our true nature, the body of reality. Dizong said, "Do you say the ancients dispelled the 10,000 forms or not?" That is the world of phenomena. Shushan said, "They didn't dispel them." Dizong said, "It's two. T-W-O. For a time, Shushan was lost in thought. And then he said, "I don't know whether the ancients dispelled the 10,000 forms or not." See how honest and forthright he is. Dizong said, "What is it you call the 10,000 forms?" And at that, Shushan attained enlightenment. I think this is also a koan. As I'm reading this, it sounds awfully familiar. I think it's a koan in the same Book of Serenity. Another one. Shushan entered the hall and addressed the monks, saying, "Ordinary people possess it completely, but they don't know it. Sages possess it completely, but don't understand it. If the sage understands it, then he or she is an ordinary person. If ordinary people understand it, then they are sages." This this passage is the commentary in one of the koans in the Mumonkan. Mumon used it. "In these forms of speech, there is one principle and two meanings. If a person can distinguish this principle, then he will have no hindrance to finding an entrance to the essential doctrine. If he can't distinguish it, then he can't say he has no doubt. Take care." Sages possess it completely but don't understand it. How is he using the word understand there? Ordinary people possess it completely, but they don't know it. If the sage understands it, then he or she is an ordinary person. If ordinary people understand it, then they are sages. Zen Master Shushan asked a monk, "Where have you come from?" The monk said, "From Kuayan." Shushan said, "What does Kuan say to provide instruction to his disciples?" The monk said, "He often says, going out, meeting Maitreya Buddha, going in, seeing Shakyamuni." Shushan said, "How can he talk like that?" The monk said, "What do you say, Master?" Shushan said, "Going out, who do you meet? Going in, who do you see?" At these words, the monk had an insight. He could probably see that the monk's mind was ripe, and that just having him cling to statements, someone else's statements, wasn't what he needed. He needed to take this on as a question. Who do you meet? Who do you see? And finally, a monk asked, "How can one get out of the three realms?" Shushan said, "When the three realms become one, then you escape them." The monk said, "If not the three realms, what is it?" Shushan said, "Where is a place that isn't of the three realms?" Now we'll return to the koan, today's koan number 70 in the Book of Serenity. Master Jinshan asked Master Shushan. So they're Dharma brothers, both disciples of Dizong, Master Dizong. And Jinshan says, "Knowing clearly the unborn nature of life, why is one still attached to life?" That's a provocative question. It's a reference to a sutra in which Manjusri asks, "Is there anyone who knows clearly the unborn nature of life and yet is held back by life?" And a young girl answered, "One who sees clearly but whose strength is not adequate is held back by life." What this is dealing with is the difference between having an initial insight into the nature of reality and whether one can integrate that insight, or to what extent one can integrate that into one's functioning, one's life activities. And there's always a lag. What makes this even more interesting is it says knowing clearly, not just knowing, not having caught a glimpse into the unborn nature of life, but knowing it clearly. Why is one still attached to life? Until full enlightenment. You know that life is fundamentally without substance. Evanescent. So why do you cling? You've seen that life is without substance. So Shushan said, "The bamboo shoot eventually becomes a bamboo. But can you make a bamboo rope out of a bamboo shoot already?" So this is apparently in order to make a rope out of bamboo, the rope is made from the sheath of the bamboo shoot, and that sheath doesn't develop until the bamboo has aged some. Can you make a bamboo rope out of a bamboo shoot already? Again, posed as a question, but making a point. There's a Chinese proverb, when it is ripened, the melon falls by itself. One of the points of the koan is to intuit the mind of this Shushan when he says the bamboo shoot eventually becomes a bamboo. Can you make a bamboo rope out of a bamboo shoot already? What's behind the words? What's the spirit behind the words? There's a certain stance that one can take, and I'm not saying that it's this guy, Shushan, but I'm reminded that there is a certain stance one can take even before having one's initial awakening, where you can just sort of say to yourself, well, I'm just not there yet. I haven't ripened. This melon hasn't ripened, and I'm not there. What's wrong with that story one is telling oneself? It's very close to resignation. Well, that's just how I am. Ho, ho, ho. I am. Right there is this suggestion that you know who you are, that you're such and such a person. I'm not ripe yet. As soon as you say that, you shut down the possibilities. You're claiming to know who you are, as if there's anybody there who you can designate as unripe. It's delusion. The way that's one of the great delusions is the delusion that I am an unenlightened person. Very similar to a defensive posture, just kind of a crouch. That's the way things are. Through further practice and training, through more zazen, then this idea, that's what it is, it's an idea of oneself as not ripe yet, becomes dissolved. Zazen is a solvent that dissolves our ideas about ourselves. This is the kind of person I'm. You hear this sometimes here and there in the culture at large. I'm the kind of person who, there. That's, you're dead. If you have yourself fixed as such and such a person, sure you can say that, you know, I've always done this, I've always had trouble with that, I've always responded this way, I've always tended to, yeah, I have in the past. But to say I'm the kind of person who is just reinforcing one's self-image, also known as ego. Aeneas Nin said, "And then the time came when the risk to remain tight in a bud was more painful than the risk to blossom." This is the great value of practice. It dissolves these ideas about ourselves and all other ideas, and in doing that, puts us into a state of not knowing, of darkness, where we're no longer clinging to any particular image of ourselves. And then to this, Jinshan said, "Later you will realize it yourself." It's a vote of confidence. And even as it is a note of disapproval for his crouching behind this idea of himself. Okay. But you will realize it yourself later. Don't doubt that. As long as you can get beyond the idea of yourself as a bamboo shoot, merely a bamboo shoot. Bamboo shoot is already inherently fully grown bamboo plant. And then Shushan comes back after Jinshan says, "Later you'll realize yourself." He says, "My view is just as I said. What is your view?" How does he say this? What's behind this? Is he just hunkering down and saying, "Well, that's just the way I see it. You know, as a measly bamboo shoot, that's what I'm stuck with. It's just this limited view. What is your view?" Or is he standing his ground? My view is just as I said. Notice in the very first sentence it says, "Master Jinshan asked Master Shushan." These are not beginners. They're talking about the fact that there's no beginning to practice or end to enlightenment. There's no beginning to enlightenment or end to practice. My view is just as I said. What is your view? And then Jinshan says, "This is the steward's quarters, that is the cook's quarters." I might have said, this is the piano room, that is the dining room. And what's he mean by that? An important point of the koan to understand what's behind that statement. And then Shushan makes a deep bow. This analogy of the bamboo shoot and the bamboo rope, it's the rope that becomes useful that is fully functional and helpful to others. Useful. So any idea about one's ripeness, one's maturity, whether one's a bamboo shoot or a bamboo rope or where one is along this beginningless, endless path is just delusion. It's just an impediment. Dogen put it this way, the Dharma is abundantly inherent in each individual. Yet without practice it will not be manifested, and without enlightenment it will not be perceived. But it's abundantly inherent in each individual. No question about it. It's easy late in Sesshin, at the end of Sesshin, to indulge in drawing some conclusions about oneself. Don't do that. Don't do that. The self, such as it, we call it, is a great mystery. Who am I? Even the great Bodhidharma, when the Emperor Wu asked him, "Who are you? Who's standing before me?" He said, "I don't know." No idea there about himself. He wasn't stuck with any notion about himself. So, without ideas about oneself, anything is possible. Anything is possible at any moment. So why do we cling to ideas about ourselves? Because without the ideas, what is there? Darkness, not knowing. We cling to the self as some kind of security, but it's the last thing it is. There's nothing more insecure than believing in this separate self. Anything is possible at any time. Time is up. We'll stop now and recite the four vows. All beings without number, I bow to the prey, endless blind passions, I bow to uproot Dharma gates beyond measure, I bow to penetrate the great way of Buddha, I bow to attend. All beings without number, I bow to liberate endless blind matter, I bow to uproot Dharma gates beyond measure, I bow to
Madre, the great way of Buddha, I vow to attend. All beings without number, I vow to liberate. Endless blind passions, I vow to uproot. Dharma gates beyond measure, I vow to penetrate. The great way of Buddha, I vow to attain.